Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world. This is another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JB, running solo today. Me and Cody couldn't find a right time to do this. I'm just like swamped, and Cody's got some things he got to take care of. He was having some shitty internet connection earlier from what he told me, and also he had some things he had to go run by, and by the time I got back, I had to go run some things as well, too. So I just said, fuck it, I'll just do your week now, and we'll just come back together on Mix and Match Week here. I got about a good 40 minutes. Right now I'm working on a lot of charity events, if you will, for the holiday season, so I'm just fucking busy. I'm also tired, though. But the busy portion of this is because it is Armagnac month. Luckily for me, I have a plethora of Armagnac now. Well, a plethora, I got like 6 bottles, maybe. And this one I wanted to share with, I was going to save this one for Mix and Match Week, but actually, I wasn't sure because I was like, man, this bottle's kind of, you know, unique in its own way. I was just like, it deserves its own week itself instead of Mix and Match Week. Because Mix and Match Week, I don't really find that to be like the highlight week of, especially compared to Whiskey Week, if you will. Whiskey Week is the highlight week for me as far as the 2 weeks that we get to display. Mix and Match is more of just like, we're just shooting the shit. Well, we always shoot the shit and still here. But I was like, oh, you know what? I might go with this other bottle I just got, Armagnac. It's in this nice little, well, it's a generic-looking fucking box, actually, now that I look at it more. But my allergies won't stop fucking with me. So that's another thing going on. UFC 269 happened. Ugly Christmas party yesterday that I did not be a part of because I left early. Very early, too. I said, you're not throwing me in this cold-ass water this time. No, 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 sir, you will not. And let me open this goddamn bottle first off here. It's always difficult to open the bottles. Get that bad boy. Pour me a little something here. Yeah, I'm not going to be on here too long because I got to work out. And then I got some things I got to go run by as well, too. So just to throw out a quick little show. Because you know me, I don't miss any weeks here on The Last Drop. I get a show out regardless of the time, circumstances, or whatever it may be. I don't give a damn if it's 5 minutes, it's 20 minutes, whatever it may be. Hell, this might not even be 40 minutes. Damn, that smells good. That color is just beautiful. Let's talk about UFC 269, which I did not get to watch yet. I don't even think I'm going to be able to watch this weekend. I already know the results of everything, but hopefully, I'm hoping I can watch it sometime this week because I kind of feel like I don't even need to watch it because I'm just more blown away by the results itself that I don't even need to know how it got there. But holy shit, man, if I was to bet some money on this, I would have lost some money. Mainly in the main events. The cards below that, I already knew who was winning that because I got all those right. The main events, I fucked that all up. I thought this was Dustin Poirier's time. You know, hold on, let me rephrase that. I always have my choices ready before. And then the fucking press conferences and the weigh-ins happen. And I always change my opinions there. This whole month I've been talking about Dustin Poirier's time, Dustin Poirier's time. I watched that weigh-in and that press conference. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just like fighters' intuitions or whatever and stuff like that. That's right, people. I'm an amateur fighter. I looked in Charles Oliveira's eyes, and I just said, shit. I said, shit. This motherfucker's going to win, isn't he? Fuck. But you know what? I was so brash, and I got a buddy of mine. Two of them, actually. I've been telling them Dustin's going to win this. I said, fuck, I can't change choices now. I'm just going to go ahead and just stick with it now. But I got to tell you, all my confidence on Dustin Poirier just went away when that press conference and that weigh-in happened. I was just like, God damn it. And you know what? The same thing happened in the co-main event. Although I was still confident that this person would win, I was not expecting this. But when I saw that weigh-in and that the press conference, I was like, I looked in Juliana Pena's eyes, and once again, I went, God damn, she looks fucking intense right now. She looks confident and shit. I was like, fuck. She might got a chance to win in this now. And don't get me wrong, I said a chance win. I didn't think she was going to win, but my chances for her went up to like 40%. But I still had Amanda winning at 60% because Amanda's the fucking GOAT. And you know what? This one loss does not take away her GOAT status. She has not lost a fight since 2014. That is a 6-year undefeated streak. That's fucking incredible. And she's defended that title more times than I can count. She still has one belt too, even though the division is kind of dead. She's going to get a rematch. And she needs to win that fucking belt back. If she doesn't win the belt back, even if she does, actually. God, I don't want to put the R word on someone's career, especially if they're feeling like they still can go, which I know she still feels like she can go. But man, I just don't see what else it is for her to do in this company, honestly. I mean, she's already fighting. She's fought every fucking woman in here. I mean, even if she beats Juliana, it's just like, where do you go again? I mean, you want to run the trilogy? I guess you could do that, yeah. And then let's just say if she wins or loses, I mean, what do you do after that? Would she want to build herself back up and go back for the title again? It's just like, I think that dream is, or that chase is over for her. I think retirement is more likely. I don't know. We'll see, but so yeah, let me just run down the card. Fucking Charles Oliveira won. And maybe it's just me not giving Charles Oliveira enough credit as it is, per se. Get some good drink right here, too, by the way. Because I think he won the title from a dude that shouldn't have been a number one fucking contender in the first fucking place. But Michael Chandler defeated fucking Dan Hooker, who, let's just be real, everybody fucking beats Dan Hooker, and somehow this motherfucker gets a title fight. I was like, his first fight, and he gets a title fight. Wow. So maybe that was the reason why. So I had Dustin Poirier because I just liked Dustin's story, and it was kind of like Charles Oliveira's story. And then, you know, he had these fights against Connor where he looked his best and stuff. And it's just like, this is dude's time, man. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Rather Dustin won or not, I already knew who the next number one contender was. And that's my guy. You know who I'm talking about. It's fucking Justin Gaethje. That's my fucking guy right there. I love this dude. This dude is fucking awesome. And no matter if Dustin won or lost, I said, well, whoever wins that belt, you might have a short title reign, because I think Justin Gaethje's about to go in there and fucking smash whoever is the champ right now. And I, once again, not to hate on Charles, because he's fucking incredible. I just got Justin Gaethje winning this title. I wanted him to win that title from Khabib. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I wanted him to. And I think now is the time now. And I think he's gotten much better. Much fucking better. I mean, we saw that fight with Chandler. We saw that, didn't we? And I just want Justin to win it. The problem with that is I feel like the next contender after Justin versus Oliveira is Islam. And I think Islam might win this belt all around. So I got a lot of people losing their titles in their first defense here, to be honest. So I think Islam is just feeling confident as hell right now. I think, especially since he has Khabib in his corner. By the way, I saw that shit in the people's comment section talking about, like, oh, Oliveira's definitely better than Khabib now. Stop smoking the crack pipe, please. Put the fucking crack pipe down. It's easier to say that when someone's no longer fighting because they're retired now. But trust me, he's not fucking better than Khabib. Khabib had more 10-8 rounds than anyone in the company history, and when it comes to boxing. That's not a stat I just pulled out my ass. That's not a legit stat. He had 10-8. Do you know what a 10-8 round is, people? It's fucking perfect. That means you dominated the fucking round. He has more 10-8 rounds than anyone in this company and in boxing. I want you to let that sink in. Charles Oliveira is good. He's not Khabib good. You know, the one thing I thought why Charles would lose this to is because I noticed with Charles's fights, all of them, he's great at picking himself back up, but he always gives like those few chances where you actually can get an open on him and beat him. Michael Chandler saw it. But Charles, he has a lot of good determination in him. He always picks himself back up. But I know he always has this little bit of hesitation in it. And they don't ever fucking capitalize on it. Which is crazy to me because I thought Dustin would, but I guess he really didn't give the chance or opportunity. Like I said, I haven't seen the pay-per-view yet. I haven't seen the fight. So I don't know if that opportunity opened up or if Charles is even aware of that himself. But my man Justin Gaethje, he's about to win that belt, so it doesn't matter anyway. The next one, co-main event here, Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena. Amanda Nunes, the GOAT, greatest, I won't even say female of all time. She's just the greatest fighter of all time. Well, I won't even go that far. She's in my top five, I would put it that way. She's at least like number three for me. Or number four, somewhere around there. I mean, I have Khabib and GSP obviously in there, and Usman. Kamaru Usman's making a feline for that number three spot. I mean, it's between them two. I'll go ahead and give it that way. But either way, the GOAT lost. I think it was the third round, was it? And it was the and she tapped. I heard someone say it was a quick tap too. Now, I was a little worried going into this fight because I was like, oh man, she caught COVID. Amanda Nunes, that is. Fuck, man, I hope this, like, doesn't. Because, you know, they say COVID has, like, lingering effects on some athletes and they still haven't recovered and they're breathing and stuff. That had me fucking paranoid because I was like, oh, man, I hope that haven't affected her in the long run. Like it didn't hit her, like, and now she's, like, you know, having struggling to breathe and shit like that. And I was thinking, damn, I don't want to use that as an excuse neither because Juliana Pena is really good. But, fuck, I'm really hoping there was no lingering effects of COVID that possibly took her out because Amanda was just, from the clips I saw, by the way, she was moving slower than usual. From the clips I saw, it did not look like Amanda to me. I was just like, who is this woman? She's not being dominant like she normally is. She's not swinging bars at this woman in the first fucking round. Like, what is going on here? I don't know who this woman is. So, I mean, I gotta watch that fight now because I have to analyze this now because she's my... damn near one of my favorite fighters fighting right now. Usman's my favorite fighter right now. I love Israel Adesanya, so Justin Gaethje's awesome. And then you got, I'm loving what Islam's doing right now. I mean, baby Khabib here. But, fuck, man. It's a shame Misha Tate lost her last fight because I was going to say... strap the rocket on Misha and let's get her some top five contender fights and let's get this Juliana Pena versus Misha Tate, but it is what it is. A fight I was really looking forward to, which was Jeff Neal versus Santiago. I watched the press conference and stuff, and this is another thing. I watched this press conference and weigh, and I just said, Neal, is going to fucking kill this dude. This dude was talking a lot of shit about, like, oh, I'm going to smash this guy. He's nothing to me. I'm going to beat him, and I should be titled for a belt. And Jeff Neal's just looking at him like, I'm just going to knock you out, dude. That's even if you make it to the third round. I'm going to knock you out. Sure enough, Jeff Neal won this. I think, what is Jeff Neal? I think he's number 12 ranked. This is a welterweight division. But it was just so funny to hear Santiago say after he beats his dude, he's ready for a title fight. And I'm just like, Usman will fucking kill you, dude. Like, you ain't nowhere near ready for a title fight. I don't even think you could get past Kobe and Leon Edwards, let alone get a fucking title fight with Usman. I don't know how the fuck you would think beating the number 12 fighter would get you a title fight in the first fight. So I was just like, yeah, just smash this fucking dude. Let's move on about our day. And sure enough, I think that's what happened. But I think it went to, it scored a 3-round split decision over Santiago. So, went to the decision. Kai Kara France versus Kobe. Cody Garbrandt, and Cody Garbrandt lost. Ooh, it was another one, man. He was talking a lot of shit. A lot of shit. I just didn't see that fire in his eyes, though. when I watch those press conferences, that's what I'd be looking for. I'm looking for, like, you know, no intimidation, fire, and, you know, I'm just looking for the hunger and shit. And I just didn't see that in him. I was like, man, Cody, I'm not seeing it, bro. Like, and sure enough, I guess he didn't fight because his rival that he's been talking trash with on Twitter, Sean O'Malley, who took on, I forgot the dude's name, Raul Lien, I forgot his name. Sugar Sean O'Malley, the Sugar Show, Mr. Number 15 rank, he took on him and won. He opened the card up, if I'm not mistaken, too. So O'Malley has won three straight moves, 15-1 with the win. Ooh, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Raul, he's at like 21-5 or something like that. It's not a bad record either, so. But Sean O'Malley, he continues to intrigue me. I wouldn't say impressed. He just, he talks a lot of game mess, but he somewhat backs it up. It's just hard to say because he's just been fighting a bunch of, you know, dudes that ain't fucking lower ranked and shit. So, I mean, get this guy in here with some real competition. Let's do something here. But that is UFC 269 that I did not get to watch, but I still have comments on because I'm just blown away by the results more than anything. Mainly the results of the main events. The other fights, I already knew who was winning those, and shit, I had those right out from the bat. And, you know, I had to just start going with press conferences because I'm really good at the press conference when I'm watching and shit. And when I saw the press conference, I just looked at that and went like, fuck. Charles Oliveira is about to win this. I was like, fucking hell. Maybe that's just because I haven't been paying attention to him, but in this press conference, I just saw, like, this swag on him, this oozing of confidence and shit like that. I mean, he just had, like, this champion's aura around him. They always say when you win a championship or when you win a belt or something like that or a title, like, your confidence just shoot up. Like, you're a whole different type of fighter now. I had never seen this on Charles Oliveira until I saw that press conference. I just looked at him and was just like, fuck, dude. This dude is just sitting there smiling like, yeah, you wait until Saturday. I'm going to fucking smash this dude. And I was watching his body reaction the whole time. I was just like, fuck, I picked the wrong person. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to wait till press conferences now to pick my fighters. Unless it's like Usman or Israel Adesanya, because I just got those two winning every fight that there is. Amanda kind of let me down, so I don't know if I can pick her no more. I mean, it'll be interesting to see her next fight. I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to think, like, should she go back into a title fight, or should we give her a warm-up first, or what should we do here, you know, because I was still thinking about the COVID, and I was like, did that slow her down just a little bit here? Either way, though, so people, anyway, let's talk about what I'm drinking on, what I'm sipping on. I am sipping on something I bought at K&L. Shit, when did I buy this? Like, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, whatever it may be. And I already had my bottles chosen for Armagnac month, but I just bought this anyway because I saw it on there, and I just like the bottle design of it. I mean, the bottle, it kind of looks like, I have a bottle. I think it looks like the Legion bottle. It's got, like, you know, the round shape with the little circular cap and everything like that. This is the Chateau de l'Abbaye, El Unique number 2, Bourbon Barrel Finished Armagnac. And the reason why I went with this one is because last week I had a bourbon barrel-aged Armagnac. So I said, well, might as well just keep the theme going with it. I did want to do this for Mix and Match week, but I said, this is good enough to, you know, throw in its own. I wasn't originally going to buy it, but the bottle was only $65, $64.99 if I'm not mistaken on K&L. So I was like, fuck it, I'm with it. I'll get it. You know, as a matter of fact, I just came from K&L buying a bunch of shit, actually. The smell on this is fucking incredible. Like, a lot of baking spices and vanilla. Ooh, the color on it is beautiful too. It has like this Chateau gold aroma look to it. And I like that. There's this like party on your tongue. It's a lot of energy. It's energetic as hell. It's got like some hints of oak, plum. There's like a dried apricot on there, but it's like a brisk zesty. Hold on, let me get another sip. It's like a brisk zest. The finish is like this toffee mocha. By the way, this was 8-year-old Armagnac too that was finished in there. So this is the youngest Armagnac that'll probably be... Actually, I take that back. Next week, I might have the youngest Armagnac on here. But this one, so far, has been the youngest Armagnac I've tasted. And, that is not bad at all. That energy is probably coming, like, from this brisk of zestiness that it has right on the top of the palate right there. It just spurts out like when you're squeezing lemon juice or something like that. Hits you right in there. I'm not tasting any of that vanilla, though. I was getting on the nose. The one thing I like about this bottle and the last bottle is you automatically can tell that it's been bourbon aged. It's crazy because, you know, when you have beer that's like bourbon aged, I fucking barely taste. Like when they do like the Weller or the, I think they just did a Blanton's one this year. You don't ever taste the actual bourbonness of it, if you will. At least not to like the cask strength part of it. With the Armagnacs, I get all of that. I'm tasting that right away. Obviously, because it is a stronger spirit, too, compared to craft beer as well. So you're going to get more hints and notes of that one compared to the beer. The beer's a little bit lighter. Actually, it's a lot about lighter. So, and you get like some bourbon-esque flavors, if you will. But like when I drink this shit, it's like, ooh, that's got like some resemblance that could be bourbon right there. Matter of fact, if I blind tasted you, you would ask me, I can't tell. You probably would just say, what kind of bourbon is that? And I would look at you and go like, it's Armagnac, baby. The French know they shit. They ain't playing around over there. Come on now. My man Joe from season two, Joe from Netflix, you. Season three, he over there in France right now. He looking for the one. I'm rooting for him. Because that's my guy right there, you know? I want him to find him. I want him to be happy. I don't care how many people he got to fucking murder to get out of his way. He will find the one, goddammit, shit. So stay the fuck out of his way. Oh, man. A lot of consistency, too. I've had about at least 5 sips now. I think the mocha is more there than the toffee now. But the toffee is, like, kind of lingering and stuck between the throat. But the mocha just slides right through. It's got like this, it starts off like this zesty, upright, in-your-face energy, but then it like simmers down, blossoms into this long, gentle fade into the finish there. And then that's when the mocha kicks in and it soothes it just a little bit more because you taste that cask drink right more on the palate than you do the finish. It hits the tip of the esophagus, if you will, but then it kind of just fades away in soothness. I kind of enjoy that a little bit. It's not bad for the price, too. $65 Armagnac, 8-year-old. And ex-bourbon barrels. I wonder what bourbon barrels they use. Flavor is right. Profile is right. The bottle looks great. It's not completely blowing me away as the other one last week did, the El Encantada, which I just absolutely love that bottle. Uniqueness and the flavor. I think this one is... I don't think it's as complex as that one is. And I don't know if that just goes because that one was aged in better barrels. Or, yeah, shit, maybe this one was. But I'm almost certain that this one probably wasn't because usually if it's like something in a high-profile bourbon barrel, they'll let you know what that bourbon barrel is. If they don't tell you what it is, I'm almost certain that it's just like, yeah, we aged it in Dickel barrels. And you're like, you did what now? I don't want no fucking Dickel juice. So it's not blowing me away. I'm not crazy getting hyped for it or telling you, oh my God, Cody, listen to this. You got to rush out and go get it. But this is a damn good sipper. It's easy. It's smooth. I think I would probably, for my non-dark drinkers, I'd probably start more with this one than I would for the El Encantada from last week, because, you know, that one might, it might be, like, a little too complex, and you probably just want something you can just get right off the bat. I think people will like that zestiness, because that zestiness just feels so refreshing, if you will. got like this spring kind of flavor in it to it. So I would drop a 3 on this. I was thinking 3.5 because I love that price range. You can never go wrong with $65. I mean, to me, that's the perfect price for liquor. I mean, I was at a K&L today, and I just like scrolling down the aisles, and I just see 65, or no, I saw less than that. I saw like 32 for like some Smooth Ambler store picks, MGP, some New Riff. I was seeing store picks and everything. I was like, oh my god! But you know, I was kind of backed off on the store picks for the year. Remember, this year's only unicorns only, baby. But I was kind of blown away by all these $50 bottle store picks and shit. I was like, oh my god, someone could clean up in this motherfucker. But yeah, I'm gonna give this a 3. Dropping a 3 on this one here. Ooh, I love it. I love it here. So with that said, people, I think I'm done now. It's only been 25, 6 minutes, whatever it may be. That's all you really needed. You got your UFC. You got your drink on. Next week, mix and match week. I think I might just do this. I got a bottle sitting right next to Armani. I think I might do this one next week. I'm curious. This one was a little bit on the cheaper side. Actually, I don't remember how much it was, to be honest. It might have been the same price as this bottle now. I really don't fucking remember. I'm good at pricing whiskey. Not this shit. We're getting close to the end of the year. Like I said, next week is mix and match. And after that, we got our top 5 to top 10 best of spirits of the year here on The Last Drop. Especially for Cody. I would say Cody's drinking more spirits this year than he did beer. So I think he kind of came back on the beer a little bit later in the year, but I think he's had more spirits this year. So his top 10 is going to be fucking weird, especially because he did not have his best beer ever on this show. He had it at the party or something like that. So I'm curious to see what his top 10 is. I need to put my list together. This is the first year I have not had a list put together already. Here I might be thinking one of these Armagnacs might change that. Who knows? But I need to put my top 10 list together here. And I got to go back and remember what I... Well, actually, I kind of remember what I drank already. So, and then we're kicking off the new year. January, first week of January, Whiskey Week. Ooh-wee. I need to get some time, though, and go find me a fucking rare bottle to end this year with. I've been looking for Pappy. I've been trying to end this year with some Pappy Van Winkle. Or just Van Winkle in general. I'm having no luck. I feel like every other state is having better luck than I am. And especially because I'm getting emails from other fucking states that they're having the bottle. Some of them for retail. And I'm just sitting here twiddling my dick and shit like that. People are like, how the fuck do you twiddle your dick? It's easy. You just put your dick in your hands or whatever. You mount your fingers up together and you go do 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 do. It's like playing fucking Super Nintendo. It's your thumbs are just moving and the dick is rotating from back and forth. It's just having like a... It's like a rock'em sock'em dick'em bots, you know? It's just going back and forth, back and forth. Anyway, I was not giving a display right now. It's all audio, no video. But yeah, I'm having really bad luck with this. I must say, I'm trying to wrap the year up. I'm thinking of just going BTEC and saying fuck the Pappy, but this Pappy is a motherfucker. And it's a motherfucker to get it for the price that I wanted it. So, with that said, I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JB. I've been going on 28 minutes here now, so I can wrap this up here. I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JB. We'll be back next week for Mix and Matching Week with more Armagnacs. Fuck yeah. Cha-ching. And you know, since Cody missed his week or whatever, so he's going to bring his top shit right here. So he's going to fucking go all in on it. So, like we always say, livers will never be the same. And glasses, they'll never be dry. Wait a minute, I'm trying to find a sweet spot to clean this goddamn bottle. Hold on, this just sounds like shit. Maybe this will do it. Okay, fuck it. Never mind, fuck the goddamn glasses.